This hour of Cairo Nights is brought to you by Washington Energy Services.
Broadcasting live from the Carter Subaru Studios, you're listening to Cairo Nights. Happy Wednesday. I am G. Scott, the Online Trading Academy text line. It is 98973. Coming up at 9 o'clock, we're going to have Seahawks legends, former Seattle Seahawk right tackle Sean Locklear. He will be our guest. You want to stick around and hear that. Like all Seahawks legends we have on here is pretty good, but this one right here kind of tugs at you a little bit when you hear some of the things going on with Sean Locklear. That happens at 9 o'clock. And also in this hour at 8:45, about that, we're going to be giving out the code word so you can have the opportunity to try to win Seahawks tickets. Well, again, like I was telling you guys, Lewis County right now, down there, they're doing a deal. You guys know about I-1639. That has kicked off. It's going to be happening starting January 1. We're 1639. That's the deal where talking about storage laws of guns and all the different rules. And there's been all kinds of oppositions, but it passed this past year in November. And we're down in Lewis County. The sheriff's office says they won't actively enforce 1639. And some listening right now, they probably agree with that. We also did a story about in the town of Republic. They're saying the same thing. They're not going to be enforcing that law. So I brought in someone to kind of help Drew and I out with this conversation and this topic. You know, they say the primary mission of a prosecuting attorney is to enforce criminal laws and work for the victims of crime. This includes obtaining orders for restitution for the victim, informing the victim of court dates, and acting as an advocate for the victim at trial and sentencing. So joining us right now, he is the prosecuting attorney for Lewis County. His name, Jonathan Meyer. Jonathan, thanks for joining us, man.
Hey, thanks for the invite. I appreciate you having me here.
I had to make sure I give you the definition of prosecuting attorney.
Okay, sounds good. Hey, it's always a good reminder.
All right, cool. Thanks for joining. Okay, man, I'm going to get right to it. Now, this 1639, I'm going to let you know, this is something that I've been a proponent of. This is something that I voted for, and I'm going to get to some of the reasons as to why. But what I had brought you on for is because right now, down in Lewis County, the sheriff is kind of saying that we won't actively go out there and enforce that. And I will definitely want you to come out and kind of help us with that. And I'll kind of read, the Lewis County Sheriff's Office released a statement on its Facebook page in November stating that it won't actively seek out violators of the recently passed gun control legislation, I-1639, and will only enforce it as violations arise through the course of an investigation. The office cited court challenges to the law as primary motivation behind its decision that you can read it entirely below. Jonathan, kind of help us understand, and is this one of those things where am I reading this the wrong way, that Lewis County Sheriff does not want to protect those from getting these guns? What am I missing?
So, first of all, the Lewis County Sheriff and I are big proponents of the Second Amendment and a person's right to own and possess, have under control any firearms. 1639 was passed by the voters, nearly 60%, approximately 60% of voters. If you look at the voting population, I tend to call these like King County initiatives. King County is the reason that it passed, and the surrounding communities, and which is fine. I mean, we're going to enforce whatever laws come our way. The problem with the way that 1639 is written is that it's almost an unenforceable law. So unless I'm going to go over to your house, G, and say, okay, show me what kind of guns you have, show me where they're at, I'm not going to know. There's no way for me to know. If you and I go out shooting, no one's going to know unless we tell on each other that we're handing guns back and forth. And that's a violation of the law as well. So it's just one of those things that the way that it's written is very hard to enforce. Now, when the sheriff says, if we learn of violations through the course of an investigation, he means just that. If something is brought to our attention, which is typically how law enforcement finds out about crimes, right? Somebody reports it. He would investigate it, and then it would get referred to my office, and then we would take a look at it. Even though we are strong proponents of gun rights, we're also strong proponents of protecting those that are out there in society. We have always been, and I know the sheriff has put on classes for this, we've always been for firearm safety, firearm education, and we always say not only do we want people to be able to have firearms, but we have to make sure that they have them safely. And so I understand some of the reasoning behind 1639, but the way that it's written, A, I don't think will stand up to a court challenge, and B, it makes it very difficult from the law enforcement end to enforce it, to seek out violators, because there's just no way to truly seek out unless I'm going to go into your home, and most people don't want law enforcement in their home just to check up on them.
Jonathan, for me, I do believe in the Second Amendment, okay? I own guns. I have them in my safe, so I want to say that first. However, I do not want to see any more guns stolen from homes used in crimes, number one, for those that are careless and not keeping it. And this is not towards those who do the right things with their guns. It just seems like in these homes that the crooks, the thieves, are breaking into these homes and stealing guns that are not locked away, and they're going to committing crimes, number one. And then number two, Jonathan, when it comes to kids, I'm like, I'm tired of turning on the news and seeing kids are having these guns either shooting their friends or shooting themselves. So for me, when I voted in favor of 1639, I voted so that I can make sure that I want safe gun storage, number one. And no, I didn't mind the extra $25 for what was that, for the semi-automatic background checks for that. So I didn't mind that. What part, how did I mess up in, like, as far as the law, how did I miss in when it comes to that?
So I don't necessarily think that you missed. I think the problem with the initiative is, and you hit it on all the things that you like about the initiative, is in my opinion what makes the initiative not able to stand up to a legal challenge. You have so many things thrown into one bill. So go back to the original $30 car tab, mm-hmm. right? That was overturned because we had too many things in one bill. And so Washington has the one initiative, one subject law, and I think that that's where this one may fall short. But when we get into the crooks stealing guns, this law does absolutely nothing to address that. In fact, there's a provision in there that says if someone breaks into my home and steals my gun, I'm not going to be held liable for anything that occurs with that gun, so long as I report it either within 5 days of it being stolen or 5 days within me discovering that it was stolen. So if I come back from vacation or something. So the law really doesn't do anything like that. Safe gun storage, absolutely guns should be stored safely. It is our responsibility to protect our children and protect our neighbors from the guns being taken or used inappropriately. And I think that's where the education piece that you talk about comes in, and I think that that's very important. Now, I'm going to say something that's probably controversial.
Fair.
I think gun education should be taught in the schools. And the reason that I say that is in the schools, we don't want kids doing drugs, but we're going to give them drug education. You know, what to do if you see drugs, what to do if you come across a needle or something like that. That's going to be part of the broader education. Why not teach the same thing? In school, I'm not going to advocate that they have guns. That's a decision they have to make and their family has to make. But if they come across a gun, I want them to be able to know what to do. I want them to be able to know who to contact. I want them to be able to know if you pull the trigger, this is what's going to happen. And so I think that that's where it should be taught. Not, and there are plenty of organizations out there that have different curriculums that could be taught in school. NRA is one of them. And like I said, our sheriff office does it as well. But when we throw this many things into one bill, we're going to have problems. And I think that our one initiative, and that's what we have here.
We're joined here by Jonathan Meyer. Jonathan Meyer is the prosecuting attorney of Lewis County, and he's in to talk about what's going on in Lewis County. The Lewis County Sheriff's Office said that they won't actively enforce 1639. So Jonathan Meyer is on to kind of help us better understand their position. Jonathan, another question for you with this topic is this. Yes, you bring the point up, so many things put into this initiative. If it were you, what are some of the things that you would take out of this initiative and say, hey, now that I'm okay with?
So from a community member standpoint, so stepping out of my role as prosecutor, I fully believe that we should have firearm education. And I think that that is something, you know, when I was a kid and I wanted to go out and go hunting with my dad, I had to go through the firearm safety hunter's education course. That's something you have to have before you can get that license. I'm absolutely fine with that. I'm fine with the background check I have to go through before I get my concealed pistol license so that I can carry wherever I need to go. And so I'm okay with that. I understand that there are checks and balances. I also understand that one of the major issues that comes to mind when I think of guns and the problem that many people see with guns, I don't necessarily think that it's a gun problem. I think that that's a symptom of the larger problem, and that's the mental health issue. And so do I think that there should be more intervention with mental health issues? Absolutely. If you look at the majority of gun deaths in the state of Washington, it's a result of suicides. And do I think that if we have more gun control, the suicides go away? Absolutely not. I think if we have more gun control, there will be suicides committed in a different way. And so I think we need to look at that. I'm also concerned with accidental shootings. However, when you look at the statistics, it's, and I don't want to say it's negligible because no human life is negligible, but the number is very low in the state of Washington as far as accidental shootings. The majority of shootings and firearm-involved deaths are suicides. And so I think that we need to take the guns out of the conversation, and we need to address more on the firearm issue or the mental health issue. One of the things that kind of frustrates me as a citizen is that we have a legislature that's going to worry about whether or not we can have plastic bags in the state of Washington, but yet we're not going to address the underlying issue of mental health when it comes to the number of deaths that we have.
I said that last week when they came out talking about the plastic bags.
I know you
again.
Did. Listen, you're a smart guy.
I was like, okay, whatever. I'll get rid of my plastic bags. But, boy, I'm telling you, we are sure making far ways with plastic straws and plastic bags, but we still ain't doing nothing about these guns.
Well, don't store the guns in the plastic bags. I think that's a good way to find your way out of that.
There you go.
Don't they do
mm-hmm.
that? Don't they do that in the movies? They
put I it believe
in the,
so.
In the paper bags?
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, the paper, plastic doesn't work. Jonathan, in Lewis County,
yes.
For what you see in your profession as being the prosecuting attorney, just in Lewis County alone, what are the problems that you're seeing, like with crime with guns? I know you talked about like statewide and everything, but how about Lewis County?
You know, the main things that we see. So currently, right now, I'm prosecuting someone for perjury, and I know how does that relate to guns. He lied on his concealed pistol license. And said that he had never been convicted of a felony. And so you just ran a news story that kind of hit on that. So, you know, do I consider that a firearm crime? No, but I think it's firearm related because he's in the steps of trying to be able to carry a firearm. We see some accidental shootings. We've had several people who have accidentally shot themselves in the leg, so they get charged with unlawful discharge. We had one brother who accidentally shot his brother through the heart. And so right now he's facing a manslaughter charge that I'm handling. And so a lot of the gun issues that we see deal with safely handling a firearm, and that's where education comes in. We see it all the time with hunters. We had a few years back, we had a well-respected member of our community fire at a deer, miss the deer, and put it through someone's house, right? One of the number one rules of firearm safety is you have to know your backdrop. And that means you have to know what you're going to hit if you miss. And I'm guessing that he didn't know that because he wouldn't have been aiming at the house. So, I mean, you have all those different issues, and a lot of it comes down to safety and education. However, we do have – I mean, it's Lewis County, right? I mean, so we do have – we've had some drive-by shootings. We've had some homicides with firearms. In fact, we just – some of my deputies just got done trying a guy where he shot his neighbor in front of his minor child. And so, you know, we do see that all the time. Far too often. But do I think if we take the guns out of it, we will stop seeing violence? No. I think it'll just take a different form.
So far, there have been three lawsuits filed against 1639. You had one by the NRA.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had another lawsuit that went to try and get it just from being on the ballot in the first place. And then another lawsuit from back in July saying that the ballot language and petition format was not meeting the right requirement. So it seems like there have been numerous attempts to try and get this repealed. In your opinion, does this last much longer, or is it just only a matter of time before this is finally repealed?
Well, I'm hoping that the courts give us a quick answer, because if January 1 rolls around, obviously we're going to have to look at how we do business and how we're going to deal with this coming down the pipe. And that's something that we're starting to do in my office now. But I think that this is, I don't want to say our last best hope, but I think that this is the best legal challenge that has been filed to date. And I think that this one has the best shot of being successful as far as from the plaintiff standpoint. I understand that, you know, like, gee, you want to see it upheld. And so it wouldn't necessarily be a good thing for you. But I think that this is the best legal challenge that's come forward so far.
When you hear me say I want it to be upheld, right, and I tell you some of the things that stand out to me, right, if you take off your prosecuting attorney hat, mm-hmm. right, and you are a father, is some of the things that I'm saying, does that make sense? Do you understand where I'm coming from when I talk about that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that gun violence, mental health, all of that plays into it and has to be addressed. As a father, I don't want my kids to ever be in a situation where they're around an unlocked or unsafe firearm. You know, one of the things that I do is I'm a volunteer reserve police officer in the city of Tenino. I have firearms in my house. I carry firearms on a nearly daily basis to and from my office, to and from wherever I may be going. First thing I do when I get home is when I take that gun off my hip, I lock it in my safe. Sometimes I'll lock it in my safe in my bedroom because a gun in the safe does me no good. If someone breaks into my house, I say, hold on, can you wait a minute? I have to go downstairs here. Let me hit the 3 digits on my safe. Now let me open it up and all of that. So, you know, I'll tend to keep one closer. But, you know, I want to make sure that everyone is safe. So from a citizen standpoint, I understand the impetus behind this. I don't agree with some of the language and the verbiage as far as why it's necessary. But I understand how it's attractive to a lot of people. I think that there are better ways to do it, and that's both as a citizen and as a prosecutor and as a father. But I think that the cause, you know, the goal behind it is to see less people die as a result of guns. I'm not going to sit here and argue that more people should die because of guns. I'm obviously going to agree with that standpoint. I believe less people should die because of guns. I believe less people should die because of fentanyl that you just talked about as well. So I just think that we need to address the actual issue. Let's start with the conversation that we want less people to die, period. Now let's figure out the way to get that to happen.
That's Jonathan Meyer, you guys, here. He's a prosecuting attorney of Lewis County. He's on Hanging Out with Cairo Knights. And however, Drew and I, we do have a couple more questions. He brought up fentanyl. There's been an increase in fentanyl-related deaths that's been going on here in the state of Washington. So since Jonathan Meyer's here, I'm going to use this time to use him for his expertise.
Yeah, do you mind sticking around and answer a couple of questions? Because we're curious.
Yeah, absolutely. Be more than happy to.
We only solve so many things between the two of us.
Absolutely. You guys are listening to Cairo Knights. We do this here in about 7 minutes. I am G. Scott. Welcome back in to Cairo Knights. I am G. Scott. Got a lot in store for you still. At 9 o'clock, we got Seahawks legends, former Seattle Seahawk starting right tackle, Sean Locklear. He will be our guest for Seahawks legends. Coming up at 8:45, we'll do question of the day, but this is your opportunity to hear the code word that we're going to be giving away so you can have the opportunity to go to mynorthwest.com and try to get those Seahawks tickets for the month of December. And now, you know, and by the way, I want to give a big thank you to the pharmacist that just texted in a second ago and said it's pronounced fentanyl. Get it right. Fentanyl. Not fentanyl. Fentanyl. Appreciate that.
They said it rhymes with windowsill. Perfect.
It's a perfect way of doing it.
Never going to look at a windowsill the same way again.
Here recently, deaths related to fentanyl overdoses are up nearly 70%. Over the last year, this is as reported by the Washington State Department of Health. It has been increasing. The rate of fentanyl overdose deaths has increased. The rate of overall opioid-related overall deaths in Washington State has actually remained flat over the last decade, hovering around 700 per year. Essentially, what's happening is not an increase in overdoses as much it is as an increase in the way people are overdosing. To kind of put it in a nutshell, basically what's happening is that the folks out there that were prescribing pain pills before, they have gotten a lot better with that. They've kind of policed that up a little bit. But then folks, it's been hard to go and get those pain pills, the Oxycontins and things that they used to get before. So then they said, oh, I'm going to go get something cheaper, which is heroin. And then they're getting out there getting the heroin. But the only problem is right now, is out there on the market, there is fentanyl that is out there. And that right there, which is 40 to 50 times stronger than heroin, and is actually putting people, unfortunately, in body bags. Still with us right now from Lewis County, he is a prosecuting attorney from Lewis County, and he's on to continue having a conversation about some of these things. Fentanyl, your experience right now down in Lewis County, Jonathan Meyer?
Well, you know, I mean, drugs are a huge issue. If you look at the crime rate in Lewis County, and I'm sure it's the same in counties throughout the state of Washington, even your non-drug offenses are usually going to be drug-related. You know, we just arrested sheriff's office and the local law enforcement just arrested two people today that were doing daytime burglaries. And my guess is that was to support their drug habit. Mm-hmm. I shared with you earlier that my home was broken into several years ago. Only drugs can make that seem like a good idea, because she was trying to get back at me for prosecuting her son. And so, you know, I consider that a drug-related issue as well. And so just a lot of the crimes that we see are drug-related, even if they're not direct drug crimes. And fentanyl is just kind of taken off. And the problem is we're trying to keep up with it. You know, I wrote a letter of support, as did our sheriff, to support law enforcement carrying Narcan. And even though we don't want to see drug abuse in our communities, it shouldn't be a death sentence. Mm. And so Narcan has gone a long way in helping curb some of those overdose deaths. And there's also laws in effect that if you see someone overdosing and you call and get them aid, that person can't be prosecuted for being in possession of drugs, because we want to make sure that they get aid. So, you know, the law's starting to build in those types of protections. But yeah, fentanyl is a huge issue right now. And I know that there's even been canine dogs that have passed away because they sniffed drugs that contain fentanyl.
Yeah, because they've said that it's something like the three, the size of like three grains of salt is enough to put it for a fatal dose of fentanyl. I mean, if you were a drug user right now, are you more afraid of getting arrested or are you afraid of fentanyl?
Boy, I don't know, because fortunately for me, I've never been in the throes of drug addiction, and I don't know if there's that much forethought that goes into it.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that's a very real possibility. And we see those stories all the time of people getting fentanyl laced heroin.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have pain pills that are basically counterfeit that have fentanyl in them.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you said, it takes such a little amount.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of a crapshoot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unfortunate, and people are gambling with their lives. And so I think that you never know what the impetus to get into treatment is going to be, but you hope that stories like this are an impetus for at least one person to go out and get some help.
Last year, the first half of 2018, this year, there were 81 deaths linked to fentanyl. 48 deaths were recorded during the same time last year. So we've had an increase in fentanyl related deaths and everything. And one of the things that we were talking about off the air, and something to really think about, because you were saying that you're trying. Of course, all law enforcement and everything, they're trying to get a handle on these things, because no matter what these drug issues are, you don't want this to be a death sentence. But the problem is, you're kind of helping me understand, is the backups, the backlog in some of these crime labs that are going on. And what's happening is sometimes if there is a new strain that is out here killing those that are on drugs, it might take 5 to 6 months to find out, oh, wait, hey, there's a new strain out there.
Yeah, and that's a very real problem that the state crime lab is having right now, because all across the state of Washington, all 39 counties, the sheriffs, the local police and everything, they use the crime lab that's run by the state patrol. And so the coroner's office came to me just recently and said, hey, we're seeing a 3 to 5, sometimes longer backlog before we find out what the drug is that killed somebody in a suspected drug overdose. And if we have a new strain of, fentanyl-laced heroin or something along those lines, we need to be able to get that message out there right away. You know, I'm going to prosecute you if you possess drugs in Lewis County. But at the same time, I want to be able to tell you, hey, just so you know, there's fentanyl out there. Be safe and, you know, live another day. Let's see if we can get you into treatment. And so we actually we shifted some of our budget to pay for a program that the coroner's office was putting on so that they could free up money to go to an outside lab so we could have a quicker turnaround so that we can address this. We need to be able to let the community know what's going on. We need to be able to give the surviving family members of the people that have passed away answers so that we can try to figure out how to address this issue. You know, unfortunately, our response, right, whether it's law enforcement or the prosecutor's office, the coroner's office, law and justice in general, very rarely do we have the chance to be proactive or typically reactive in nature, because we figure out something that, oh, this is happening, let's react to it now. We have come up with some programs that are more proactive, like drug court. You know, that's very successful in our county. But at the same time, we need to be able to have answers so we know what we need to do.
We're joined here by Jonathan Meyer. He is the prosecuting attorney of Lewis County here on Cairo Nights. And one of the last things I want to ask you before you get going would be, are we doing enough? Are we doing enough in the schools? Are we really having real conversations? You talked about mental health earlier, and then of course mental health leads into drug addiction. I don't know if the chicken or the egg, what happens first, but are we doing enough to curtail this drug problem that we have in our country?
Short answer is no. And I'm not sure that we'll ever be able to do enough. You know, since the legalization of marijuana in Washington State, we've seen a huge rise in marijuana DUIs, simply because the stigma's taken away. We've seen more kids using marijuana because the stigma's been taken away. It's not as bad anymore, right? It's kind of like alcohol. And so we need to make sure that kids understand, you know, vaping was cool. Now we're learning the dangers of vaping. Marijuana couldn't do it. Now, well, my mom and dad do it, so it can't be that bad. We need to be able to make sure that we are communicating with this kid, with the kids, and it means having very real conversations with them. You know, it's not, drug addiction is horrible, but sometimes people don't even get the chance to get drug addicted, right? I mean, I always think of the basketball player. Was it Baez?
Oh, Lynn Baez.
Right?
That's the only reason why I never mess with drugs.
Right. I mean, they say that was his first time, and he died. You know, I could not imagine having to go through that as a parent. And so I think we have to do everything in our power to make sure that we educate the kids because, you know, as the song goes, the children are our future. That's true. We have to be able to educate them, and they have to be able to hold themselves accountable. They have to be able to hold us accountable, not only as parents and adults, but as elected officials and law enforcement.
Powerful right there. Love it. That's Jonathan Meyer, prosecuting attorney of Lewis County. Coming up next, it's time for Question of the Day, and we're going to give you all that code word so you can try to win you some Seahawk tickets. Listen to Cairo Nights. I'm G. Scott. Welcome back in to Cairo Nights, y'all. I am G. Scott. Coming up next, we got Seahawks legends. Our guest is going to be former starting right tackle for your Seattle Seahawks, Sean Locklear. He'll be on, and man, is it a pretty cool story. Before we get to the question of the day, it's now time to announce our final code word for your chance to win Seahawks tickets. Head to mynorthwest.com/win and enter the code word PASS. By the end of the show, to be entered to win two tickets to see the Seahawks host the Cardinals December 30th. Remember, this code word will expire at the end of the show. Enter at mynorthwest.com/win. Drew, what do you got?
Now, the Cairo Knights question of the day.
This is a pretty simple one, but I'm very curious people's answers on this. Question of the day is, do you believe in luck?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And we'll just go to break. That's all that we need. That's it. Time's up. Oh, that's it. Okay.
Yes, man. I truly do. I was thinking during the break which story I wanted to tell that would last like, you know, less than 30 seconds. And I just think the one that I came up with was the one time that I almost got in a serious accident and I closed my eyes. There you go.
Hmm.
How I got out of that accident, I have no idea to this day, but I truly did close my eyes. I closed my eyes as if to say, oh my gosh, this is going to be bad. That's what I did. And I whipped around the car in the snow and everything. And it was just the luckiest thing in the world.
Came out alive the other side.
Yep. Amazing. There's luck.
What about you, Frank?
Sure. Absolutely. I believe in both bad luck and good luck.
Mm.
And I think, you know, it's because luck is just a thing that happens. And sometimes you're at the recipient of some pretty good luck. I had a similar thing to G that happened to me just a couple of days ago. I was sailing along. Gosh, I forget what time of the day it was.
Sailing on the boat?
In the car. Oh. On the Bell Red Road at about 40 miles an hour, maybe 40. Yeah, about 40. And came up to a big intersection and realized as I entered the intersection that the car to my right, okay, ignored his stop, right, and just pulled out in front of me. And because I was watching him at that moment, and because I wasn't going so fast that I couldn't control my little Honda car, I jacked it to the left, and I made this big, broad loop around his front end, and then went right around him and avoided the accident entirely. And if there had been a lot of traffic there, if I had been traveling 5 miles an hour faster, if he hadn't gone ahead and turned right, which is what he was going to do, right, there are 20 different ways that could have gone sideways.
Hmm.
That was just lucky. I was just lucky.
We're still joined here by Jonathan Meyer. He just spent the whole hour with us, Jonathan. You believe in luck, my man?
I do. I'm a sports guy. I've coached softball for over a decade and coached football at the high school level. And coming from the law practice as well, I'm a firm believer in luck, but luck is when preparation meets opportunity.
Mm.
The old saying is you don't practice until you get it right. You practice until you can't get it wrong. And so if I'm ready when that opportunity presents itself, then yeah, that'll be lucky.
A good attorney will go into a courtroom with the point of law, and he will be able to argue that this applies to this case in this way, which is why I should win. That doesn't mean the judge is going to agree with you, and that's where luck comes in.
There you go. There you go.
I'm a big believer in luck. I think I've always just considered myself kind of lucky. I've always had a tendency to win random things. And I actually remember when I was a kid in a Cub Scout meeting, I had won so many things at a raffle. My parents told me, it's like, you have to go up and give some of that stuff back. All right. I'll just win more. That's fine. And then, honestly, I felt like my luck had sort of lasted my entire life. And then when I had my accident, people were like, boy, that's just, that was an unfortunate thing. I was like, no, I'm pretty lucky that I lived. And my first feeling that I had when I got to the end of it, I was like, I feel really lucky that I am still here.
And for those who don't know, Drew was hit by a truck leaving outside of Cairo Radio right here and was walking across the street, and a truck hit him. And that was pretty scary, considering, like, oh, I'm like, okay, he got hit by a car? I'm like, is he all right? They're like, oh, no, he's getting ready to get brain surgery right now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, then it must be pretty serious. So, yeah, brother, you lucky, man.
Yeah, I feel pretty lucky. What about you, David? Do you believe in luck?
Yeah, definitely. I don't really have anything else to add to it. You guys pretty much covered it. I'm a big sports guy, so I believe in luck and stuff.
That's the first time David's kind of just shut it down.
Right? I'm still a Cleveland Browns fan.
Oh, boy. I never said good luck. Bad
yeah,
that's luck,
right. Just
definitely.
Luck. Exactly. Yeah,
any luck.
Any luck, whether it's good or bad.
You think there's people that don't believe in luck?
Yeah, I think there are, because I think there are a lot of people that don't like the idea of luck because they don't like that idea of fate or determinism, that whole thing. I think that people who like the idea that their life is not already predetermined and not set out.
They want to be in control.
They want to be in control.
My grandmother used to always say, baby, it's already written.
Mm.
You know what I
really?
Mean?
That,
yeah,
really?
So she doesn't believe in luck. She didn't believe in luck. She always thought that everything that's going on, it's already written. The man upstairs has written out your life. It's all right there. All you got to do is just get up and guide it.
Mm. Every morning I wake up next to my wife, I know I'm lucky.
There we go. I like that. That I believe.
Oh, no, man.
Look at that.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, see, yeah, drop the mic.
Ah, the husband's win. I love it.
Oh, man. Well, luck that is. And I'm lucky to, you know, have Frank Shires come in here and give us news.
Oh,
day to day.
Listen to you. And you have Drew.
Well, I was going to get to that. I'm lucky to have Drew, who did not get beat up by that truck. Well, he got beat up, but didn't.
Oh, yeah, I got beat up.
Didn't die.
Oh, yeah. I've been trying to find the right way to kind of present this through comedy. And I said that, yeah, I got hit by a truck going 35 miles an hour. I flew 50 feet. Landed on the sidewalk and then got up without a scratch on me. Nah, I'm just kidding. I broke a lot of stuff.
That's it, exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. Have you been putting that in your comedy?
Yeah, it's, you know what, it's difficult. It's difficult to try and get people not to immediately be way too concerned up front. I'm like, no, this is fine. I'm just, as a disclaimer, I'm okay. It's okay to laugh at this.
Gotcha. You gotta tell some more foul stuff. Maybe tell some stories about what you heard happen at the hospital.
That sounds good. That should be good.
Go get that angle. Coming up next, it's time for Seahawks legends, former Seattle Seahawk Sean Locklear. He joins us coming up next. You listen to Cairo Knights. I'm G. Scott.